Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Espacito, the Espagenesis podcast, the original Espagenesis podcast, to the best of my knowledge, possibly the only Espagenesis podcast. I can't confirm that. Thank you so much for tuning in with us again today. We're having a great time tromping around. Tromping? Tromping's not a word. We are having a great time going through the R&D facility on the asteroid. About to learn some new things, about to push forward with the story a little bit. We're really having an amazing time. So thank you for joining in, listening to us. I've been off work with a migraine today, so I am here, I am with you, I am in spirit, I am with you in soul, I am absolutely on board with having some amazing Espagenesis times today. Please tell everyone you know about this podcast, even if you don't think they'll like it. Just wind them up with it. Tell them it's something not nerdy at all. By the time they've realised, maybe they'll be into it. Also, please do talk about on your social media if possible. Give us a share, give us a like. Everything's great, everything helps, and it really helps us get the word around. And also, no alsos. That's it. On with the show.
Last time on Espacito.
As you approach the double doors on your left, you notice quite an exciting two words on the door. And the two words on the door say weapons testing. At the back of the room, in the far corner, you can see a small fire, so what looks like a fire exit, a sort of door leading into a small room, and at the very back of the room you see a couple of large wooden crates.
I bet this is where they keep that space home. And guys, that shit is flammable.
Can't get enough space, eh? I go and loot.
Yeah, I join them.
Okay, so they are locked, these crates.
I smash them hard.
I shut the door. No, I'm not there. I'm not near the door. Did the door shut behind us?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Do you want to roll a strength check?
I'll do this with my left hand.
Tyler, be sexy.
That's bad. That's really bad. A six.
So you sort of bounce off, it hurt your wrist slightly. These are very sturdily made crates.
What sort of lock is it?
It's a digital padlock.
Can I just like use my kind of thumb my spectacles again and then crouch and have a little look at this digital padlock? And so the other guys are looking at me and I can sort this out, guys. I'm intelligent now.
Can I walk up by Pax as he's pushing his glasses up and attempting to, I'm assuming, hack these locks? And then say, you've got this.
Oh.
And then I'm going to do a help action.
Okay, yeah, and help. And how are you doing this, Pax? Are you trying to pick the lock in the conventional way or by actually sort of hacking the digital computer in there?
Yeah, I'm going to try and hook it up to my rig and do it that way.
Roll a computer's check.
Yes. We're going to use a different dice for this. 19.
So, actually, more than anyone, to D4 Surprise, who you feel is just kind of humouring you, actually, you punch in a series of codes, connect a few nodes together, or something else that works in Mass Effect, and eventually, after about 30 seconds, the lock pings open.
Pax just jumps to his feet and does a lap of this bay area. Did you see that? Points in Jackson's face.
Yeah, Garrett's
fuck you.
Well, Pax, I'm really sorry. I thought you were just making believe with those glasses, but it seems like they have a real impact on you.
Roll a deception check.
No, I mean it. Jefferson's genuinely confused. Because how did Pax do that? That doesn't make any... Jefferson's not clever, right?
I turn to Jefferson and say, turns out he is all that.
Oh, roll credit.
And that's how we finished Espacito.
We did it, boys.
Jefferson then goes, whilst Pax is doing laps, and looks in the crate.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
So, Jefferson, inside you see something which you absolutely can't believe you're seeing. At first glance, find a box packed with space hay.
Guys, someone get me a lighter. I pocket a lot of the space hay.
Okay, have some more space hay.
Are you sure about that, Tom?
I mean, I've given it you now.
Oh, shit. We do not need to nuke this place from orbit. We can nuke it from here.
Right, so what's under that?
Under a thin layer of the space hay.
Thick layer?
A thin layer of space hay, not loads. You find a silver and red pistol with a small cylindrical chamber below the main barrel. And also you find a long black sword with a carbon fibre handle and a reinforced ornate handguard on which there is a small button. And it's got a straight blade banded with horizontal lines wrapping around the length of the steel.
Guys, this is really exciting. There's a lot of space hay in here. Pax, come over here quickly.
I immediately get out my flare gun and run up to
that. I mean, that is a combo we need to use at some point. I fully agree with that.
Love your enthusiasm. Not right now.
Yeah, later. Do you have a fancy sword?
Do I?
No, do you?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah.
You do?
Give me.
I don't know, I can't tell. Are you being sarcastic? Are we playing a game here?
Just give me the fucking sword.
All right. And I pick up the sword and I toss it in.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to say you catch that.
And I pick up the pistol.
The pistol is surprisingly light when you pick it up. The silver body has been modified with several bespoke elements, resulting in what seems to be a more accurate, more damaging pistol. And beneath the barrel, again, is a large round tube with a separate trigger on it.
So there's two triggers?
There is a smaller, almost like a button, on the side of the cylinder below the barrel.
All right, intrigued, I walk towards the shooting gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And I fire the gun normally.
As you fire the gun normally, rather than a standard round, the pistol fires a burst of dark green energy that hits into one of the targets downrange. And rather than burning like you would expect from a normal laser, the target almost seems to turn to dust as if it disintegrates slightly. The target itself almost sublimates into steam as it's impacted by this gun, which you know pistols quite well, and you've heard of technology such as this. And what this is it's a disruptor pistol.
So, can I just clarify, laser pistols are a thing, because none of us have a laser pistol or anything laser-ish, right?
It's rare technology.
So lasers themselves are rare technology. Disruptors, I'm guessing, are more rarer?
You get the feeling this is a real cutting-edge prototype pistol.
Well, this is exciting.
And it essentially functions the same as a heavy pistol plus one, but it deals necrotic damage rather than piercing damage.
So it's a heavy pistol plus one without...
And due to the material compounds used to make it, doesn't have the recoil property.
Hooray! That's what I need. And what does the button do?
Are you pressing it?
I really hope it's not a self-destruct.
That would be so cruel if I just melted you.
I press the button and fire the pistol again.
So you hold the chamber in your left hand and press the button on the second chamber, and out of it fires with a almost like a burst of pressure fires a long grapple with a rope on it which digs into a set of crates at the end, so there is basically a rope running from your pistol to the crates.
Am I still holding the button down?
Yes,
I release the buttons.
Roll a quick dexterity check for me.
Dexterity save or check?
Check.
9.
As you release your hand off the button, the pistol flies out of your hands as the rope recoils back into the chamber, and the pistol goes and sinks itself into the crates.
Alright, I jump over and run after the pistol.
It's got a range of like 30 feet. It's essentially a functioning grapple hook.
That's cool.
I'm going to follow Jefferson over the line and go to the other dummy. And I'm going to press the button on this sword and swipe at the other dummy. Is it two-handed or one-handed?
One-handed.
Alright, it's in my right hand.
Okay. When do you press the button? As you swing or before you swing?
As I'm swinging.
You press the button and swing, and you miss the target entirely. And you're a bit confused as to what's just happened until you look down at the sword and realise that the blade itself has gone fully limp. You can see blue sparks of electricity running up and down the blade, and the lines, the horizontal lines on the blade, are actually bands. And when you press the button, these bands separate, and the blade goes limp into what you can best describe as a long-bladed whip.
Okay, I whip the around the mannequin's head, around its neck.
Yep.
And then I press the button again.
As you press the button again, the sword recoils and goes back into its blade form, releasing the dummy.
But it doesn't, okay.
So essentially what you have here is a plus one sword.
Okay.
And upon flicking the switch on the hilt, it transforms into a bladed whip that does 1d4 slashing damage plus 1d4 electric damage, and also has the light and reach properties.
Nice. That's exciting.
But if I snap it back into the sword, chop off the mannequin's head, it just goes kind of straight again.
You feel like this would be a difficult weapon to master, and with a bit of practice you could maybe utilise things like that. This is known as an Urumi sword. U-R-U-M-I.
That's awesome.
I lean over to Dr. Danson and say, aren't they having fun?
It's nice, isn't it? Simple things for simple minds.
All right, Damson, do you know what my Ravager pistol...
I don't know what that is.
Out of character. So on a crit, it does an extra Is that right? It does an extra 2d6 damage?
Oh, I will have told you at the time. I can't remember these things. when you roll a 20, your crit does an extra 2d6.
So is it an auto pistol?
It is an auto pistol.
Yes.
Here you go.
I catch it.
I didn't throw it. It's a very expensive pistol. Come on.
I catch it anyway.
Oh, you're giving it to Damson?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, I could wield both, but it seems like a bit of a waste. Especially as he's got nothing to protect him.
Yeah, you should probably have a weapon.
I mean, I gave him an auto pistol last time.
Yeah, I do have an
auto pistol. Can I have that one back? Because I tend to use both.
If you want, sure.
Thank you. I mean, I assume you're just going to shoot once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, this has been productive for everyone except D4.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, D4.
It was fun to watch.
I mean, you've got your sunburst thing. That's pretty fun.
I'm quite happy about Pax picking the lock.
It was impressive, wasn't it? Like, I honestly don't think...
Genuinely.
And do you remember when we were on the Callistus and he managed to hack into the controls to take control of the... Yeah, well, I think he's actually quite good with computers.
D4, you put your hand in your pocket and you find a 5-credit note that you didn't know was there.
This day just keeps getting better and better.
But actually record that. He just gave you that.
I'm taking them.
You cannot take it back now, Tom.
Yeah. Tom, this sword, is it short blade, or what does it count as when it's in sword form?
When it's in sword form, it'll be the same as your sabers.
Oh, so 1d8?
Yeah.
Right, do you want to check this fire exit or not?
What fire exit?
Top left-hand corner.
Is there a sign above it that says fire exit?
It is clearly an exit to the surface.
Oh, okay. To the surface? I don't want to go there.
Why not?
I've been out in space before. It hurts. Don't hold your breath. That's what I learned. That's the main thing I learned. Don't hold your breath. Also, don't
because you specifically said you'd taken a lungful of air. Like, I wasn't going to be a dick about the physics of the vacuum of space, but...
This is Jefferson genuinely saying this to Pat. Yeah. Like, don't, if you want to go there, fine. but don't hold your breath, and I'm not going, because I've been to space before, and it's not my favourite.
I did learn really recently, actually, that the whole thing about you freezing to death quickly in space is total nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, because the there's three ways that heat can travel, obviously: conduction, convection, radiation. Without air in a vacuum, the only one of these methods is radiation. So you can physically only lose heat through radiation in a vacuum of space, and that is the least efficient transfer of energy in terms of thermal transfer. So depending on where you were in space, you could physically never freeze if you were close enough to a heat source like a star. So you are in the weapons bay.
Right, guys, should we go to another room?
8 hours later.
Fucking hell.
Another
right, well, Damson, do you want to revisit your jails?
There's just a bucket. What's left of a bucket?
Is there anything in the bucket?
You are not a man.
I'm a space ghost, Pax. I have phantom pools.
That sounds terrifying.
Let's go to another room then.
Can you lead the way?
I do, with my disruptor drawn. And I guess we go, when we leave the weapons room, turn left and follow the corridor around to the right.
Okay, so you walk round past a sign which reads, restricted area, level 4 clearance required. Authorised personnel only.
I turn back to the rest of the group and I say, are any of you guys authorised?
Yes.
Are you sure? Are you...
I mean, you were just in a jail cell, Danton. Are you sure you're authorised?
For the purposes of this, yes.
No wonder we never get shit done.
What?
Nothing!
Is it a locked door?
As you open the door...
Right.
You see...
so no.
You see a long room, and in the middle of the room is a barricade of crates. There seem to be several dead horrors on the floor that have been riddled with bullet holes, creating a sort of creating a red swathe of mulch across the floor. On your left, there are three alcoves in the wall, each containing a large vat of liquid, and with tubes linked into the top of the vats, stretching out and connected into the walls. Behind the crate, you see two heavily armoured figures pointing guns directly at you. They both stand over 6 feet tall and are entirely encased in metal. Their shoulders are plated with large metal spikes sticking out of them, and they're wearing large silver-coloured breastplates fashioned into a point, which covers where their mouth would be. And through small gaps in their armour, you can see nano-weave mesh binding the suit together. So this is far from antique armour of old. This is modern nanotech, and there are flickering blue lights running up and down the arms and the thighs, and each helmet seems to be equipped with a small holographic display in front of where you presume the eyes are. Behind these two, you see two more figures stood by a computer facing away. They're similarly dressed. One is sat down at a desk, and you can see the back of a bald head with blue skin as he types away as a terminal. And one of them at the crates points his rifle at you, quite aggressively, shouting in a language which I'm not sure if any of you understand. He shouts at you. You hear something along the lines of "Halusse Shazak." One of them is crying. Do any of you speak Nassive?
Oh, I think I might. Lari, Protean, Dendus, and yeah, Nassive.
Excellent. So he essentially says, with a broken grammar compared to what you're used to, he essentially says, state your business, maggot.
Can I, whilst what ensues, just activate my sim unit and start recording?
Yeah, sure. Roll a sleight of hand.
Roger Dodger. How does Roger Dodger read? Is that cool, Phil?
No.
That is a poor sleight of hand, Tom. That is a poor sleight of hand. That is a 5.
Okay, this guard clearly sees you reaching for your recording unit, and he points his gun quite aggressively at you, and says to Damson, "Tell your friend not to record, or he get his head blown off."
Jefferson, if you're going to record, do a better job of hiding it. He has a very high-powered rifle pointing at your head.
Do you want me to try again? Is that what we're saying?
Jefferson, you notice the other Lorendi has also got his rifle trained right on your face.
I'm saying it wouldn't be the worst thing that happened to me today to see your head get blown off, but I think the others will be quite upset.
All right, fine. I lower my hands.
What are you doing here? State your purpose.
We're doing the same thing you're doing, I'm afraid, sir. We're just trying to survive. Those bloody horrors have been giving us the right good runaround. And I do believe that scientist there is trying to kill Venom Page.
He lets out a bit of a laugh. The one next to him puts his rifle down on top of the crate and picks up what looks like an extremely heavy mace made out of like a black iron-looking material, which he effortlessly lifts up with two hands and rests it on his shoulder.
What do you know of Venom Page?
Well, he invited me here to start with, and then decided to try and vivisect me, which was fun. And then, all of this happened. So, but I don't hold a grudge. I'm really just interested in surviving, which I can see from the looks of things. So are you, gentlemen.
He puts one of his fingers to the side of his helmet, and the rest of you hear him say something again in Nassive. And Damson, you hear him say, "The janitors are here, Zamir. Shall we kill them?"
Oh, bugger. Boys, what language do you guys speak, guys?
I speak... Well, you don't know this.
Yeah, you're just having this conversation now.
Oh yeah, shit. I just say to the guys, oh god, they're with the scientist.
Oh right, well, I mean, I guess we could have guessed that from that email we read.
Oh yeah, we were heading right for them.
D4, you promised me some, killing.
I'm going to cast Sensory Boost as a second level spell. It's a +2 to everybody's attack and saving throws. It's Space Bless.
Just say Space Bless, that's all we
space
need.
Bless.
With that, the Lorendi in front of you, he hears something in his earpiece and he nods, essentially, bringing his hand back to his rifle, and he nods to the Lorendi next to him. And they open fire.
But since I realised that they were with the thing, could I have like drawn my pistol and gone to shoot them?
I think you could have like a hand on your pistol, but I don't think you're gonna beat them to the draw. Basically,
fair enough.
One of them is holding a mace actually, so only he opens fire. And can you all make a dex save for me?
With +2?
With +2.
Yeah, presumably, if you have Space Bless.
Space Bless.
Space Bless.
Because that was a 20.
Yeah, I'm rolling really badly.
I got a 12.
29.
So 9 for Pax and 20 for D4.
20 for me as well, not that.
12 for me.
Jefferson and Pax, you both take 5 damage as Lorendi sprays bullets in your general direction, and they ricochet off the steel walls, sparking and ricocheting around the corridor. And with that, they both take slight cover. And can you all roll initiative?
That's better. 21 for me.
13 for D4.
17 for Damson.
12 for Jefferson.
That's poor for Jefferson. Okay, so as these bullets ricochet around you, they take cover. And the Lorendi who shot at you, actually, he seems to refocus his fire quite quickly. And he trains his gun straight onto Jefferson. First is a 23, the second is a 30.
All right, so one of them hits.
So one of them hits. So you take, as one of these clips into you, after this burst of bullets, you take another 9 damage.
Oof.
And then it's Pax's turn.
Okay. How far away is Lorendi number 3?
About 8 squares, so that'd be about 40 feet.
Mm. I've already got my sword drawn.
Lorendi 2 was the one who fired at you, and Lorendi 3 was the one with the mace.
And he has the mace?
The one on your left has the mace.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to run 30 feet.
Okay, that'll get you to just before the crates.
And is he 10 feet away from me?
Yes, he is 10 feet away from you over these barrels, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try and use my new whip.
Oh, excellent, yeah.
Across the crates. Just watch me, nay-nay.
So you use a bonus action to flip it into whip form.
Okay.
And then you can make an attack with the reach ability over the crates.
Natural 20.
Nice.
Okay, that's 2d4 plus 1, because it's a plus 1, right?
Yeah, it is plus 1.
9 damage.
Okay, cool. So that's... Yeah, so you swing that across the crates, and he's... Is that with a crit as well? 9?
No, sorry, completely... so that's 10 plus... so it's 14.
14. Okay, so yeah, you swing... And this Lorendi, clearly, he feels protected by these crates. He doesn't expect your sword to sort of elongate and lash out at him. And you take...
Because why would he?
Because why would he, exactly? You managed to score quite a large gash across his cheek. And then that goes to the Lorendi at the back of the room, who continues working on the computer. He's sat down facing away from you with his helmet on the desk, and he is pretty furiously typing away at this computer terminal at the back of the room. Then it's Damson's turn.
Would you say that the guy who's typing away probably isn't giving us his full attention?
I would say he's giving you very little attention. He knows you're there, obviously, but he definitely has something more pressing.
Would you say his tension is divided enough for me to maybe get a sneak attack on him?
He's not really paying attention, but he's quite far away. It's a long old room.
Okay, is he more than 60 feet away?
Yeah, so, he's about 90 feet away.
Okay, I'm going to move forward 30 feet to the crate by the wall.
Okay, you wouldn't be able to see him from by the wall, as there is a sort of narrowing of the corridor here further down.
Okay, so I want to move so I can see him then.
You'd have to go by this wall at the top side.
Okay. That's fair enough. And then can I sort of kneel down so that at least the Lorendi 2 wouldn't be able to see me over the crates?
I think he'd still be able to see you.
Oh, would I at least get partial cover?
For kneeling down?
Yeah.
I think if he was further away from the crates, you would, but he's stood right by
them. Okay, fair enough. Either way, I'm gonna kneel down. And I'm going to take a shot at the guy who's typing away at the computer.
Roll that attack.
Okay, that's 12. Does that hit?
It does not hit. You make a shot which just clangs off the wall. You're quite a distance away from him, actually. Is that everything?
There's not really much else I can do. Yeah, I can't light beam because I've done that already. That's me.
That goes to D4 then.
So which is the Lorendi who machine gunned us earlier? Is that number 3?
That would be number 2. He's on the right hand side.
Oh, okay. Can I run up to that barricade?
Uh-huh.
Next to Pax.
Here it comes.
And
you know what time it is.
Bring the noise.
It's not quite that noise time. It's electrical surge time.
Okay, I thought it was fire blossom time.
Yeah, no, me too.
I need to be closer to the middle.
Ah.
But really, Fire Blossom. So, Electrical Surge is a ranged attack. Jesus, God Christ.
That is a poor ranged attack.
That's a poor ranged attack. I'm sure that's a miss. 8, 10. That's a 10.
That does not hit, unfortunately.
What a colossal waste of time. Well, that's it. That's all D4's got.
And then that goes to Jefferson.
I guess I'll shoot at number 2 with my disruptor. Oh, wait, first, I'm going to Hunter's Mark the second Lorendi. So the guy with the gun, I'm going to Hunter's Mark.
Okay. He has gone, by the way.
That doesn't matter.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
Yeah, no, I'm hunter's marking him.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot at him with my disruptor. Go, disruptor, go! That's terrible. But plus 8. 14?
It does not hit. It seems the technology in the armor seems to dissipate most of the energy across the surface of the suit.
Right, well, in that case, as it's my first turn, I also extra attack. So this is with one auto pistol. That's probably going to hit. That's a 25 to hit.
That definitely hits, yeah.
Okay, so that's just... Oh, that's terrible. Plus 5, so that's 6 damage.
6 damage to the one who fired on you originally.
Yeah, and then can I sort of tuck myself in next to the first tank on the left?
Is it 6 damage even with your hunter's mark?
Oh, no, I forgot about the hunter's mark. Thanks, Tom.
Can't keep track of the rules for everyone, guys.
That's 8 damage, including the hunter's mark.
Excellent. Okay, so...
And it's literally the two lowest numbers I could have gotten.
So, yeah, that hits him, and it bounces off his armour pretty harmlessly, but it is a solid hit that you feel.
Okay, and then can I run and tuck myself in next to that, on the first vat on the left?
So, yeah, you run and tuck yourself in by one of the vats that is in a recess in the wall and take cover there. Then the one with the mace, he walks out from behind the crates and walks up to Pax quite firmly and swings his mace in your direction for a 23, Pax.
Wow, yeah, that hits.
He's rolled quite low, so that hits you for... He hits you for 6 damage as this mace strikes you in the chest. The Lorendi at the back of the room hides behind the jutting out piece of the wall there. He takes a shot with his pistol at Damson, and that misses and ricochets off the wall as Damson ducks down as he's kneeling. That goes back to the start of the round with the one who shot at you originally, who fires at D4. He fires twice. One of those is a 19, which hits you for 6 damage.
Oof.
And that clangs off your armor again at quite close range. Then that goes back to Pax's turn.
You're going to make a constitution save on that. 13 for Bless.
Shit, I forgot about Bless.
Oh, I forgot about Bless as well, sorry.
I don't think it's really come up.
Well, because it's whenever we attack.
It's attacks and saves. Has anyone missed, though, by 2?
I don't know. I'd have got a 16. I don't...
16 just misses.
All right, cool. No, in that case, we're fine.
So that's a 13 on the constitution, so I'm assuming that's no one's face blessed anymore.
Oh, you're doing your concentration.
Yeah, yes. He's doing a concentration check. He's playing a role that literally no one else plays.
I like concentration. I think it's a good role.
I like it.
It's only fair, otherwise you've got a constant spell going for however long it lasts.
I just as a DM, like, I can't keep track of all that.
What do you have to beat on the DC? What's the DC for?
Equals 10 or half the damage you take, whichever number is higher.
That's the one.
Well, 10's fine. I got like 15. So that's... Or half the damage will be 3. We're good.
So you passed that?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Everyone's still space blessed.
So, Tom, in whip form, do I have to be 10 feet away? Is it fine to use it at 5 feet as well?
Yeah, it's fine to use it at 5 feet as well.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to do a whip and then a saber with my offhand. But we'll do the whip first, which is not going to hit. And then the offhand is probably going to hit with a 22.
Uh-huh.
That does hit.
For 5 points of damage, but I am going to do a force surge effect on him. I'm going to hit him for an extra 2d6.
Excellent.
So it's 5, and I just rolled 2 sixes. Cool. So 17 points of damage, and he must make a constitution saving throw against 12, or he's knocked prone.
So you hit him with this, with your offhand. He takes a huge blow with this sword and falls back onto his back. He's not dead, yes. But he's knocked prone on the floor. The Luendi on the computer is still tapping away furiously, interacting with the terminal down there. Then it's Damson's turn.
Okay, right. Can I do an... If I move past Luendi 3, I'm going to provoke an attack of opportunity, aren't I?
No, he's on the ground. He's
prone.
Oh, he's on the ground.
Oh, also, Tom, he's pushed 15 feet back.
Okay, cool. He smashes into one of the vats and falls down beside it against the wall.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, in that case, I'm going to move... Yeah, I'm going to move 15 feet forward, and I'm going to take another shot at the guy tapping away at the computer.
Yep, go for it.
Okay, that's better. That is a 17,
18, 19. That does hit, yeah.
Okay, cool. That's 8 points of damage. So, and do I get a sneak attack on him or?
Yeah, I would say as he's not paying any attention to you at all, you could have a sneak attack advantage on that.
13 points of damage.
Excellent. So this bullet of yours sinks into the back of his shoulder, and one of the arms that he's using to type just goes limp and falls down by his side as he lets out a scream of pain. It's then D4's turn.
Oh, can I just do... I've got another thing that I can do. I realised I didn't last time. It's called Intuitive Action. As a bonus action, I can grant an enemy a disadvantage to hit me. And then if it misses me, I receive advantage against it.
Cool.
And I'm going to do that on Luendi 2.
Brilliant. That's D4's turn.
So, going past Pax and Downson, how close can I get if I'm running... Along the top, is that 30 feet?
But just get past Damson up to about the third vat container on your left.
How far away is Luendi 4?
About 25 feet.
Oh, so Luendi 1's just out of range. I'm going to
fire blast him!
Laser blast!
Ooh!
Luendi 1 at the computer screen.
Excellent. So, yeah, so you raise your wrist up and program in a laser blast and fire that.
16 plus... 6, I think, for spell. So that is 15 damage to it.
Okay, so...
And also the next attack gets advantage.
So this laser blast burns a red-hot hole in the back of this Luendi's armour, and it sizzles, and you see almost molten metal dripping down his back as he loses all concentration on the computer and lets out a scream of pain.
Sorry, so as a bonus action,
yep.
I'm going to do coordinated attack as well for an extra d6 damage.
Okay, roll it.
Plus wisdom. Oh, that's nice. An extra 10 damage.
Okay, so he screams out in pain and realizes that he can't focus on the computer anymore. He pushes his office chair back and stumbles to the side, reaching for his pistol.
He was in an office chair.
Yeah, everyone needs to sit down, man.
Even in space. Can I destroy his office chair as well?
There's a big chunk out the back of it, man. He's lost his warranty on that thing. He reaches for his pistol and points it in your general direction, only to see a drone flying through the air towards him. And what does the drone do?
I love this fucking drone.
The really sassy drone.
So he's aiming at the pistol at me, and then he looks directly upwards, and then just a beam zaps down, just through him, just like vertically through him to the floor.
And this Luendi, his knees buckle, and he falls down onto his knees. And then face down on the floor. And then the drone turns to you, and what does he do?
Just a horrible drone wink. Like if you can imagine, like what was the lady drone called in Flubber?
Oh God, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. That's a deep cut. She looks over and does a horrible wink.
Had a disturbingly sexy voice.
And a disturbingly sexy wink, and D4 shudders a bit, and then it flies back onto his ring.
And with that, the Luendi at the computer falls down, apparently dead.
Apparently.
Well, yeah. Pretty deadsies. After D4, it's Jefferson's turn.
All right, well, I'm just going to take a few shots at the second... at the guy with the gun, the Luendi 2.
Yes, you can fire at him. He's slightly behind cover, but you can give him a shot.
I ignore all cover.
Oh, you do?
Oh, that's terrible. That's 13.
Doesn't quite hit, unfortunately.
Then I take my bonus action to fire again. 16.
Again, it just slightly misses.
Is that plus two?
Yeah, it's plus two.
Just slightly misses. He ducks down behind this crate.
That's all I got. Can I move and tuck in on the near side of the second tank? So, like, you know how the first Lorendi, the guy with the mace, is lying down on the far side? Can I be on the other side?
Cool, excellent. And then Lorendi 3, he stands up and he slumps his way over to Pax. And in a sort of, in a disoriented state, he swings his mace and misses as it crashes into the crates as his head hasn't quite cleared, but he lets out a large, loud growl in anger due to, you know, you feel like he really felt the dishonour of being knocked backwards and off his feet there, and he feels like he's got something to prove now.
Does Jefferson get an attack of opportunity? Or is he not out 5 feet?
No, he's not really entered Jefferson's sphere of combat there. But Jefferson's now behind him. He's ignored Jefferson and gone straight for you, who knocked him down. Number four then pops out from behind this this wall at the end of the room near the computers. He pops his head out and fires a blast from his pistol down towards D4. The first one misses, clanging off the wall, and so does the second one. Both of these ricocheting off the walls and bouncing back into the room. Back to Lorendi 2, he sees Damson moving past him and he fires twice in his direction with disadvantage, if I remember.
Yeah.
And the first one misses and the second one misses again as he fires two bursts of bullets into the wall, seeing Damson run past him. But yeah, manages to miss due to the ability that I've forgotten the name of.
It is Perceptive Vigilance. I'm super vigilant, guys.
So you see the bullets coming and that somehow helps.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but those are bullets.
Actually is Damson's turn after that.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna shoot that guy. Gonna shoot him right back, and because he missed me like a punk,
yeah,
I get advantage on him. So I think that means I get sneaky attack.
It does, yeah.
So if I hit, probably don't. So I got a that's a 16. Is that hit?
It doesn't quite hit.
Ah, balls.
Was that with your plus two?
Oh no, it wasn't. So 18.
Oh, 18 does hit.
Yeah, boy.
Damn, son.
As he misses you with it in a hail of bullets, like that scene in Pulp Fiction, you turn around and unleash a barrage of bullets back at him.
Stop trying to shoot me and shoot me. So that is not as good. That's for 8-9 points of damage.
Is that with your sneak attack?
That's with my sneak attack.
So you manage to unload a couple of bullets straight into him. His armor seems to take the brunt of a lot of it. But it's a couple of solid hits that clang off the metal there. Then it's D4's turn.
Sorry, can I use my... this is my thing. I'm going to use my cunning action
to dash
towards the computer.
Oh, to the back. You can make that with a dash, I would say.
I also think it might be... we might miss my game.
Yeah, I think Perks hasn't gone this round.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude.
I am infallible.
I just missed a go. Fine.
Pax, you missed a go because of...
You were so surprised with how well you did.
Yeah, and space measles. Sorry, yeah, you should have gone after the Lorendi behind the crates with the gun. You're absolutely right, Pax. Sorry, we'll slot you in now.
Okay.
But yes, Damson, you can make it to the terminal.
Sweet.
Pax.
Now, can I do my offhand attacks, or do I have to do my right hand first?
If you want to attack with your offhand first, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and slap him with a sabre.
Excellent, yeah.
16 doesn't hit, does it?
Doesn't quite hit. There's a lot of 16s going about.
All right, I'm going to try and hit him with the whip.
Quick him.
4, and lovely, 23.
That definitely hits.
And that does 7 damage.
So you again, this electricity runs through his armor, and you feel him shake with pain as you crack the whip into him, and he's now looking extremely, extremely bloodied. He's looking like he's taken an absolute beating from you. Anything else?
I can't really do. I killed him, run past him, but I'll just stay there.
Excellent. That's D4's turn.
Actually, no, you know what? I'm going to do an action surge.
Oh, okay, cool.
Whoa. I'm going to attack him again.
Yep, roll it.
And with a saber, if that's okay?
Yeah.
Or do I have to, yeah. That is a... It hits. It's a 22.
Does hit.
23. Ooh, that's nice. So that's 10 damage.
Woohoo.
Okay, he goes down to one knee and looks up at you in the eyes and lets out this horrendous guttural scream as you bring down this slash across his face that just catches the front of his neck as he falls down. He slumps on the crates and then goes limp on the floor.
Is he deed?
He is deed.
Can I cut his head off?
I mean, I guess you could roll your second attack against his neck.
I don't have a second attack yet. It's a bonus action. That I don't think that counts in an action surge. Does it count in action surge? Is it an action and a bonus action?
Yeah.
I think it's just another action.
Oh, okay.
Just basically go again. So you can. I think you can bonus action as well as part of an action surge.
I mean, I'm just gonna rule it. Yeah, go for it.
Flavor.
Yeah, you can flavor your head off.
I'm gonna cut his head off.
Yep.
And then I've still got my movement, right?
Yeah, I guess you have.
Nice.
Can I leg it towards Lorendi 4 and kick the head?
Oh, he's bringing it back.
I want to try and put it straight into the room with Damson and Lorendi 4 if possible.
Go for it. Yeah, roll an athletics check.
Okay. 23.
So you managed to field goal this head through the gap at the end of the room into the computer bay, and it bounces along the floor and just lands by the Lorendi who's taking cover in there.
Yes.
I'm totally fine with that.
Are we the baddies?
Absolutely.
I'm a little out of sync now. I think it's Jeff's turn.
I think, did I still need to?
Yeah, it's D4's turn.
Oh, I thought we had your turn.
No, we went back to Pex.
Sorry. No, yeah, that is, you're absolutely right. Then it's D4's turn.
I mean, we know where this is going.
Yeah.
So, Fire Blossom time?
Fire Blossom!
Fire Blossom!
So, it's 2d10, dexterity saving throw, or 2.
What's the DC on the dexterity saving throw?
14. Six total, plus my engineer level. Shit. 10 damage.
10 damage in total?
10 damage each, yeah.
So both of them are wreathed in flame as these fire blossoms launch out of your rig and wrap around them. The Lorendi in the computer bay seems more perturbed than the one than the soldier with the gun by the crates, but both of them definitely seem to be feeling the heat of those as they start to seep into the gaps in their armour.
I feel like perturbed is the best reaction to being set on fire.
Yeah, I mean, they're professionals.
Oh, gosh. How far away is Lorendi 4 from me?
About 25 feet still.
Can I just run up to him as my movement?
Mm-hmm.
And then just look him up and down as he's burning?
Yeah, you can survey that shit.
And grin.
Wow, holy shit, dude.
D4 got dark.
Who's the ashen for now?
Oh, damn.
Okay, then it's Jefferson's turn.
Okay, so what I am going to do is I want to walk up to right next to the second Lorendi, the guy with the gun.
Yep.
Because with my speed shot feet, I ignore
fact that... You ignore the distance issue.
I do. So I'm going to fire at him with my disruptor, and that is 19 to hit.
That does hit.
Okay. That is 11 points of necrotic damage.
He lets out a big scream of pain at that as you get in close and you just put your pistol to point-blank range by his stomach. And you see the armour turning to dust around his stomach as the necrotic energy burns into his suit of armour.
And then This is really, it's horribly going to backfire, but I'm going to do it anyway. So then I point my auto pistol and I say, dodge this.
I mean, I love it just for the Carrie Ann Moss quote.
And that is a 15 to hit.
He dodges it.
And I say, good for you.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I really wanted that to work. He just manages to slide to the side, and the bullet goes over his shoulder into the wall behind, but he's still reeling from the disruptor shot to his stomach. Then, number four, he drops his pistol on the floor and draws out a sword from his belt, and he swings that at D4.
Just before you roll, Tom.
Okay.
I'm going to use Spiral Defender.
Is that a reaction?
It's a reaction which gives him disadvantage on the attack.
Mother of... Well, I mean, you're lucky because that first roll was a crit.
Jesus.
And the second roll is still reasonable. What's your AC?
16.
Just hits. Just hits. But you avoided a crit at the very least.
Well, I turned that perfectly.
Yeah, you really did. He pulls out the longsword and slashes at you in the same motion as he's drawing the sword from its scabbard, and you take 3 damage as it just nicks you on the arm.
I'll just do a con save for that as well.
Oh, God. Please tell me you've got a +6.
Got a +5.
Da, 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 da.
I feel like...
Oh.
So everyone thanks. Loses
space. I am blessed by my own thing.
Oh, wait. He's blessed by his own thing.
Anyway, that's still 3 damage at least.
Yeah, you're taking a little nick of 3 damage on your arm as he draws his sword in your direction. The Lorendi with the gun, he looks at you, Jefferson, and he grabs the crate next to him. It's piled up on top of the other crates in the barricade, and he pulls the crate off the barricade and tries to topple the top crate of the barricade on top of you. Can you roll a dexterity save?
Yup. No.
Oh dear.
That is a natural 1.
He grabs the crates, one of the crates piled up next to you, and pulls it down on top of you. You aren't expecting this, and the crate, full of various bits and bobs of machinery, lands on top of you. You take 8 damage.
Ow!
And are pinned by the crate to the floor.
Now, being pinned, does that affect my ability to shoot?
Yes, you are very much restrained, I think, is the you are very unable to shoot, I'm going to say.
Restrained?
Am I unable or at disadvantage?
I'm going to say we'll go with restrained and you have disadvantage.
Okay.
As this crate is pinned on top of you. He then turns his attentions to Pax and fires a pistol at him, which misses and hits the wall beside him. But then it's Pax's turn.
I mean, that was a big mistake on his part, because I was going for his mate. I immediately turn around and charge him.
Excellent. You're in there.
And I whip him.
Whip him real good.
I don't think that hits. 15.
That doesn't hit, no.
-3 to my stupid crippled arm. And then I'm going to follow up with my saber, which misses as well, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
14, yeah. All right. That's me.
Then it goes to Damson.
Okay, so who have we got left?
There is the Lorendi who was guarding the guy at the computer, and there is the original Lorendi who fired at you in the corridor.
I am going to go for the guy guarding the guy at the computer. I'm going to shoot him.
Okay, he's just behind you with D4. He just slashed a sword at D4, so you can definitely shoot him.
Okay. Do you get advantage when I'm next to him? Or
there is an allied target within 5 feet.
If I misjudge this terribly, that's
a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank God.
It's not advantage, but it is sneak attack.
Okay, so in that case, I think I missed.
Okay, so you just fire and it kind of sails down the corridor past Jefferson, who's just pinned by a crate down the way. Mm. Anything else?
I'm going to dash so that I am sort of like in contact with the guy who's got his sword to D4's throat.
Okay.
But he's not going to... He's got to go for me.
You don't need to dash. You can get there with your normal movement.
Oh, in that case, I'll get there my normal move, and then I'll use my bonus action to do the perceptive vigilance on that guy.
Okay, can you just keep doing that?
Yeah, I've got three per long rest.
Excellent.
So one.
Then it is D4's turn.
I'm just going to electric surge this guy in front of me, level D4.
Is that a ranged attack?
That's... Oh, actually. Damn it, I forgot my hunter's mark again. Is that a ranged attack?
Quite, you're pinned underneath a crate.
Yeah, I know. I hit him with my disruptor and forgot to add it.
Range 60 feet.
So if it's a ranged attack, then you'll have disadvantage at this distance.
Oh, no. Oh, I've got my stabby dagger then.
I mean, you could always move away.
I could do, but you might stab me. I don't want him to stab me.
He does love to stab you.
He does love to stab me, yeah. I'm just going to jab him with my dagger.
Okay. Three.
I'm going to use this one.
That's a good dice. That's my paladin dice.
Oh, let's have the paladin dice works. Oh, what is that? I can't read that.
That's a six.
No, that's not very good. Your paladin dice has let me down.
My bad.
A six will not hit.
No, that won't hit at all.
It's a six plus.
Yeah, even with death.
Plus four, I guess.
Plus four, yes, yeah, 10.
John, you know that's not going to hit.
Tom, does it hit?
It doesn't hit.
Tom, does it hit? I wave it in front of his nose.
But then, if there's nothing else, Jefferson, it's your turn.
Oh, all right, pinned. I'm going to fire my gun anyway.
You won't be able to see him.
Not at all.
No, he's on the other side of the crate.
Oh, you're a prick.
You just shoot through some boxes?
Can I see Laurent D4? Can I see the one that D4 and Damson are fighting?
Even with your ignoring cover feet, I'll say yes, but with disadvantage. I mean, you have disadvantage anyway, actually, because you're pinned.
You're restrained.
Yeah.
So you can just about see what's happening, but it'd be a really tough shot.
Like, would it be a strength check to try and get this crate off of me?
Yes, it would. Yeah, it's really heavy.
In that case, I'm going to fire at the guy that D4 and Damson are fighting.
Okay, yeah, fire away.
So with disadvantage, that is a 17.
Actually, you just about managed to clock him.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
And that is 9 damage to him.
Okay, that is a surprisingly good hit. He's still up, but he definitely clips him there, and he's taken unawares by this bullet from seemingly nowhere that he doesn't really expect to see.
That was the disruptor as well.
Yes.
Okay, and then with my pistol...
Sorry, blast of green energy, not a bullet. Crazy.
Yeah, right? That's crazy. in that case, I'll also shoot at him with my normal gun.
Okay.
Oh, that's not as good. 11.
Yeah, that does miss.
Pew!
Which goes to his turn, and he slashes again down at D4, who he's currently sort of locked in combat with. The head on the ground that he now sees that Pax feel golded into the room only seems to make him more angry. He doesn't seem to be fazed by the psychological element of it. If anything, it seems to fuel his passion, and he attacks you more fervently than ever, really. He brings this sword down on you for another crit.
Jesus Christ.
And it's a really good crit. So he brings this sword down on your shoulder, D4, and it sinks right into your collarbone and digs very, very deep into your collarbone. 23 points of damage.
Fucking
hell.
I'm down.
Are you fully down?
Yeah, that was just enough to knock me down.
Up, down. There goes our healer, boys.
And the blood spurts out as he brings this sword down on your shoulder, and he turns to face Damson and swings his sword in his direction and misses.
I'm sure we can talk about this.
He misses incredibly terribly. The Lorendi with the gun, he also drops his rifle and pulls out a sword from his belt, and he swings that at Pax, which the first strike misses quite cleanly as Pax parries it to the side. And The second one, he swings... I'm pretty sure that's a miss. He swings for a 13.
Yeah, 17.
So with your sword, you manage to parry this away. And then it goes to your turn in retribution.
Right. Coming straight back at him. Whip first. Misses. Sabre. I think hits for 22.
That does hit.
And a him for 5, but I'm going to do another surge effect, the same one, force damage, 2d6 extra.
Yep.
No way. It wasn't two sixes, but it's a 6 and a 5. So 11 plus 5.
So as he...
16.
As he swings down at you with his sword, you manage to parry one of them to the side. You swing your whip at him, and he manages to twist his sword around it and pin your whip to the ground, at which point he looks at you in the eyes and says, "Looky, looky, I got hooky." And with a quick parry, you attack from above and to the side. He blocks those, and then you thrust your sword straight through his stomach, at which point he drops his sword and falls down to his knees.
Can I try and, like, 180 lob him off my sword through to the room with D4 and their damsel?
You can roll a strength on that.
Okay. 12?
So he's halfway through a monologue about how he never knew his mother, and you twist and try and throw him across, and he sort of... He managed to roll him about 10 feet across the floor as he falls down dead. He doesn't quite make it the full 35 feet that you were hoping to throw him. But, you do manage to twist him off your sword and roll him across the floor. And he lies motionless.
Okay. I'm use my movement to get into the room if I can.
Yeah, you go and join D4 and Damson surrounding this final Lorendi. It's Damson, it's your turn.
I'm going to stab him.
Stab him good.
Yep. So that'll be a stab, traditional stab, these newfangled stabs. That would be a miss.
Okay, solid
and,
miss.
And then I am going to use my cunning action as a bonus action to disengage.
Okay, cool. You are disengaged.
So, Pax, he's all yours.
D4, it's your turn.
I guess that's a death saving roll for me.
Yes, it is.
No, dear. That's a natural 20.
Oh, that's a double success.
Excellent. Good. That's the only time I've rolled that. It's normally a 1. I was expecting a 1.
Jefferson, you are pinned.
So I'm just on the ground under this thing.
Yeah, you're struggling now.
I mean, I'm torn. I'm all out of shape.
Faith.
But it's just how I feel.
You're shaking.
And I'm naked on the floor. I'm going to... shoot my disruptor at the remaining Lorendi.
It's going to be even harder now that Pax is in the way.
Yeah, but so am I ignoring cover still, but I'm doing it with this?
Yeah, I guess with your feet you are ignoring the cover. Yeah. I guess you are, that is your thing.
That is how I do.
Yeah, you are good at shooting.
Surprisingly, considering how badly I've done so far at shooting.
Yeah, make that attack.
That is actually very good. That is a 25.
Does it?
Forgot to move my hunter's mark.
Ha.
That's 11 damage.
Ooh, just enough. So you fire from a prone position, and this just clips. You see this Lorendi wrenching his sword out of D4's chest, essentially. As D4 falls, it just makes a window of opportunity for you to fire through where D4 was stood. The Lorendi swipes down at Damson and misses, and you just pick your moment and place a blast of this disintegrating energy into the Lorendi's neck, and the armour crumbles down his chest, taking what looks like a good chunk of windpipe and neck with it, and he falls down onto the floor dead.
That's what I wanted you to dodge.
I'm going to immediately stabilize D4.
Can I fire my disruptor at the crate to see what happens?
Well, one thing at a time. Pax, do you want to roll a medicine?
Yeah, I got a 10.
Yeah, I think that's just enough to stabilize you anyway. You're still on 0, but you are stable. Well, you're on 1, but you're, yeah.
Can I fire my disruptor at the crate?
Yeah, sure. I don't even think you need to roll an attack at this distance. You make a large, grey, powdery hole in the side of it.
Can I crawl out of that hole? Like, is it, like, around me so I can crawl out?
No, it's
just... Can I go over and watch this?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, can I do that too?
Yeah, it's a spectator sport now.
Can I stay out of range just in case one of these misses?
I'm going to try and lift the crate so I can pull myself out.
Okay, yeah, roll a strength check.
Oh, that's terrible. That's a 4.
Yeah, you are absolutely pinned.
I point and laugh.
I try again.
Okay, if you're just gonna get to the stage where you keep trying and trying, it's long and it's embarrassing, and everyone's gonna have a story to tell about this. But eventually, you do manage to slither your way out in a pathetic way. It's quite embarrassing. Your pants fall down; they get caught on a bit of wood. So you crawl out with your trousers round your ankles. And it's genuinely your street cred won't be repaired for quite some time.
And when I get up and I pull my trousers up and I fasten my belt, I look at them all and I say, guys, I'm not going to forget this. And I'm fucking...
I don't think you should, because it was fucking lame.
I am livid with all of you. All
there
of you.
You are in the middle of a room surrounded by...
No, creatures. I'm not done. I'm livid with all of you. And if I'm in a position where I need to save you from, I don't know, embarrassment or dying, I'm really going to consider my next move. That's all.
I was going to say, while this spectacle's going on, can I crawl towards the computer and try and work out what Lorendi was logging onto?
So you head over to the computer. The terminal's obviously already been accessed. There's no security on it. Somebody was already in it. There are several thousand files apparent on the computer in various subsections detailing the research and development of Revesis, including the there's currently open a file about Rosetshi Naru, who was the Shattered Towers architect. There are a few commands which are available in the primary subset menu, which are as follows. The three that were opened, the commands that were pre-programmed into the computer were unlock the aberrant chamber, unlock the security center, and deactivate the artifact status field. If you want to try and find out what the Lorendi was doing, you can roll a quick computers check if you want.
Okay, I'll do that. That's a 10.
Okay, so yeah, so you can't really tell what he was doing on the computer, but... There's quite a few files on here. There's some various messages, and there's a few commands that you can put through.
Can I download the files that are on there?
Yeah, absolutely. You can download the files that are on there and pop them on your local device. So the primary thing that you find on there as you're backing it up is, again, it's another message which has recently just been sent, which pops up on the computer terminal. So you can feel free to read that out as you found it.
So it says, Zamir, the instructions you made were more than enough, and the resident staff didn't realise what had happened until it was too late. Only Pamomathy, is that right?
Pamomathy,
one of the security grunts, seemed to have any idea what was going on, but we arranged a leave of absence for a relatively quickly, shall we say. The mission is going well to varying extents. The cloning program has been successful, more successful than we could have ever imagined. Following from some initial failures, which have kept for research, we've succeeded in creating several malleable sleeves into which we can implant the consciousness into. Whilst making modifications so they act as desired after recent public appearances, I'm sure you will agree that the expectations have been exceeded. Even those close to Venin did not suspect the truth. The artifact's computational power has advanced our race by decades, and the energy it has given off has allowed us to grow the sleeves at an exorbitant rate. They almost seem to feed off it. It is a thing of beauty. Some of the phasers, however, have exhibited extremely aggressive tendencies, and a few of the science team have been subjected to a couple of accidents. Subject 17, in particular, is particularly belligerent. We await your arrival tomorrow. If you have anything preparing, message me back on the personal term in Arms Brother or Velis.
Interesting.
While D4 is reading this, I want to try and pick one of the crates and hold it above my head.
Yeah, roll a strength on that.
16.
You manage to lift it up to about chest height. When you go for the snap clean and jerk, it just about is a bit too heavy and you have to put it down quickly. But you do manage to lift it off the ground quite easily.
Do I have a couple of seconds while it's on my chest to say something?
A couple of seconds, but you can tell that it wasn't easy. It wasn't quite as seamless as you were hoping.
Sorry, kind of a strained kind of, look at me, I'm Jefferson. And then I look around for like a laugh.
I say to D4, right, D4, can you open the aberrant chamber? And can you deactivate the force field?
I'm in a tremendous amount of pain, but yes.
I would help you, but I used up my tech slots, so give me a bit.
Before we do anything, I think we should probably rest for a little while, at least. Get our stuff back.
That's probably a sensible idea, especially given the time.
My only issue with fully resting is that whoever they were talking to, Zamir, is coming tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't really, we're not in really any position to fight anyone.
Looking at the timestamp on the message that D4 has just read out, it was actually sent yesterday, before the previous message that you found.
Oh, right, so this was them.
So this was a message from Orvelus yesterday.
We can short rest and use some hit dies.
So, they're arriving today.
As best you can tell.
Yeah, I think we need to go, guys.
I just don't think we're in the shape to do it. Not with, like, D4 battered.
I don't think this is a fight. This isn't a fight. Have a quick look and run.
Well, we're going to need to grab the artifact. We can't leave.
If you put the aberrant out, it's going to fight Orvelus, presumably, if she's still in there.
We don't know what's there.
Pax, like Pax, roll a quick xenobiology check for me.
Oh, gosh. You're definitely not good at that. Seven.
Seven. I think that's enough, because this is... I was literally just rolling to see if you massively failed this. But the word aberrant, it means something to you that it doesn't actually mean to anyone else, and you know of a being called an aberrant, and it is a term for a Promethean who doesn't fit the mold of the perfect society that the Prometheans were hoping to develop.
Oh yeah.
When undergoing their sort of biological change that evolved them past humanity, they undergo a process, and some of them it doesn't go well for, and it's a derogatory term. A lot of them are gifted with abilities, but most of them are shunned and really sort of exiled from society, so it's quite a derogatory term in Promethean society.
Okay. I relay this information to the team. I say that I know what the aberrant means in my... from my perspective, it's this weird offshoot from my race, etc., etc. Could be this.
I still think deactivate the force field, unlock the aberrant chamber. We try and grab the artifact.
Could be very powerful, Jefferson.
Could be very powerful and on our side.
I think the point is we haven't really got a safe way to contain it if we do what.
I mean, the same goes for the artifact. So. There's also someone guarding the artifact. Like, if you guys want to just bug out, then we can bug out, but...
Is anyone else hurt?
No, it's just I'm hurt, but I can't be fixed by anything, so...
We can take a short rest? That's like an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Why don't we all get in these crates and have a short rest? Or underneath them, Jefferson, you're good at that.
I swear to God, I will shoot you in the face.
Now, to be fair, getting in the crates is probably a good idea. Like, the horrors won't think to look in.
I feel like if there were many left, we'd come across them by now.
Why don't we get into this room with D4?
Yeah, barricade it up a bit.
Okay.
I think that's quite doable for you. So if you can use some of these crates, packs, you find them relatively easy to lift. Jefferson, you stand by and watch helplessly. But packs, you manage to lift a couple of these crates in, and you can barricade yourself into this room quite easily, and I think you'll be able to have a short rest.